Pet Life Radio.
You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
This episode of The Pet Chef is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audiblepodcast.com/petchef, P-E-T-C-H-E-F. Over 75,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player.
Welcome to the Pet Chef on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Master Pet Chef Mickey Voisard, and thanks for joining us. On today's show, I'm interviewing Woody Bartley from Chance for Bliss, and it's a nonprofit animal sanctuary in Penryn, California. Woody and his wife, Deanna, started the sanctuary over 2 years ago, and they have, well, somewhere around 80 to 81 animals now in their care. We'll talk with Woody and hear about the wonderful environment that he and Deanna created, along with feeding home-cooked meals and doing a lot of natural pet care. Gosh, am I enthused to hear more, because this is right up my alley. And I've been working to try to get pet rescues and shelters to stop all of the feeding of that crappy food and save a tremendous amount of money at the same time. And we'll also hear about some of the residents of Chance for Bliss and how we can all help them out. So we'll be right back with the Pet Chef.
We'll be right back, right after these messages. Stay tuned.
Hey, boy, how you doing? What am I doing? I'm creating your own life book. It's a website that's just for you. Remember that picture I took of you pulling off Lisa's bathing suit? Yeah, I know, me too. I'm putting that awesome picture on your life book page. We'll see what comments we get. And that great video we took of you standing on the table with your head inside the turkey? That's definitely going on there. No, it's easy. It only took me 2 minutes to set up your page. I chose a great theme, and I can connect with millions of other pet parents. I can also create a memorial life book. No, not for Grandma, but we can make one for Fluffy, remember her? And we can even put links to our favorite pet charity. And friends can make donations. People can create their own life book for their pets by going to PetLifeRadio.LivingYearsPets.com. Or they can sign up on the Pet Life Radio homepage. Where's Lisa? She's outside by the pool. Hey, come back here! Create your own life book for your pet. PetLifeRadio.LivingYearsPets.com.
Stop what you're doing and start horsing around. Every week on Pet Life Radio, horse expert and award-winning rider Audrey Pavia will be trotting out great tips on feeding, breeding, and more on everything equestrian. So set a spell and say hey to Audrey and get ready for a darn tootin' galloping good time. Every week on Horsin' Around, on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Pet Chef on Pet Life Radio. My guest today is Woody Bartley from Chance for Bliss Animal Sanctuary in Northern California. Hey, Woody, welcome to Pet Life Radio.
Thank you so much, Ricky. We are happy to talk to you today. It is a beautiful day here in Penryn, California. It's been a little warm lately, but I'm enjoying a cool breeze as I'm surrounded by, of the 21 dogs we have, I think about 10 are in the bedroom right now because they want to be on the radio.
Well, good. We can interview them all. How's everyone on the ranch today?
You know, doing fantastic. In fact, I'll start with our newest resident. He has been here for just a little over 24 hours. His name is Chip. He is a close to 15-year-old Sheltie, and we had just been at the Horse Expo, which is a huge event in Sacramento. It's the largest equine event west of the Mississippi. And this year was the first year they had dogs at the expo, and we were on rescue row. Even though we're a sanctuary and don't do adoptions, they still put us in that area, which is great. Well, behind us, in the row behind us, was this Northern California Sheltie Rescue, and we saw this little 15-year-old boy, and of course they couldn't get adopted because nobody's interested in a 15-year-old Sheltie, and we said, well, you know what, brother? You got to come home with us.
Good. And they were happy to let you have him, I'm sure.
Well, and it was funny, Mickey, it's almost like every time and we try to be in support of other, what I call frontline rescue organizations, and they were a little incredulous. They said, you really want him? I mean, like, you'll take him home and take care of him? I said, yeah, that's really what we do. I promise.
Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful, Woody. You guys are absolutely amazing. Let's start out with you telling us, who got the spark going? Was it you or Deanna who got the original idea?
I had to give all the credit to my beautiful bride. I met her 14 years ago, and I had not grown up in a farm environment, really an animal environment. I have fantastic parents, brothers and sisters, but animals were not the big focus of our life. They were in the background, but more in other people's homes. And I grew up in suburbia back in outside of Washington, D.C., moved out here to California 22 years ago, and when I met this beautiful woman, she had an 8-year-old Boston Terrier named Wally. Well, it didn't take too long after we started going out to realize, man, this was an amazing dog. And, you know, Bostons were bred for companionship.
Right.
Funny, you know, they snort and fart and just make a lot of noises. And they're
like us all.
Exactly. Well said. So, and we took Wally everywhere. In fact, we went back east two different times, brought him on the plane with us and a little Sherpa portable carrier, and he fit right under the seat in front of us. And so it was that magical boy meets dog along with boy meets girl, and I had the best of both worlds. So Wally was 8 when I met Dee, and he lived for 4 more years and died on October 10th of the year 2000 while both of us were holding him. He died of congestive heart failure in the Rainbow Bridge Room at UC Davis.
Wow.
It's about 30 minutes from Davis, just outside of Sacramento. And I was devastated. It was the saddest day of my life. I remember it like it was yesterday. It was 10 years ago. We just celebrated. Well, it'll be 10 years on October 10th. So I figured, not knowing anything about rescue, that we would go get a puppy, you know, because I wanted to have now this full life experience. And
two days after
Wally died, Dee came to me with a printout from Pet Finder of a 12 and a 13-year-old brother-sister Boston Terrier pair that had been dumped at a shelter. And we were living in a small little bungalow renting in Curtis Park, which is right outside of Sacramento. And she said, sweetheart, I think we should adopt these two. And I said, honey, not a chance. Not interested at all. Not interested. And I'd like to say, you know, that it was divine. And I said, of course, I'd love to do the right thing. But that would not be honest. And I was hesitant because one had Cushing's and was blind, and the other was described as antisocial. And I was just freshly grieving Wally. And I said, sweetie, that's just not appealing. I don't want him to die, and they're somebody else's dogs. She was persistent, unusually so, and I finally relented. She jumped in the car, and again, we're in Sacramento. She drove nonstop to Seattle as fast as she could because that's where these two pups were. And she just could not bear the thought of these two dogs, these two Boston Terriers at the end of their lives, and they were isolated because they had kennel cough. Couldn't see
them. Oh, yeah.
So she drove up there, brought home Taffy and Feisty, who were later renamed Chance and Bliss. And the sanctuary is called A Chance for Bliss in honor of those very first two. And that's how it started 10 years ago. We've been a nonprofit for about 2.5 years, but we started this work 10 years ago. And that's how it started.
It's the power of the woman.
Power of the woman and power of Wally. You know, Wally really was. And in the USA Today article, Janice Lloyd, who is the wonderful reporter, had really caused this wonderful uproar and interest about us. She, the one request of the photographer, and it ended up being the cover photograph was Dee and I. She wanted at least some reference to Wally because he's really, along with Deanna, was the whole reason that we're doing what we're doing.
Well, you know, it's amazing, and that's how I found out about you. I had read the USA Today article. What an amazing experience that must have been for you guys.
You know, it was incredible, and then people say, well, gosh, how in the heck did you get in USA Today? And I... Janice Lloyd has been interested in writing and advocating on behalf of companion animals for 30 years, and she had written a blog, and on this one particular day, she wrote about how this wonderful couple had 8 dogs living in the house, and there were no cages, and wasn't that great that they'd let that many dogs live? And so I sent her an email, and I said, that's fantastic that there's other people kind of as goofy as we are, and, you know, we actually have 20 dogs in the house, and I explained a little bit about what we do, and she immediately shot me back an email and said, you have to be kidding me.
Oh, wow.
So that started a series of interviews and conversations, and then they sent out this wonderful photographer, Justin Case Condor, who was out here for 7 hours and took 1,200 photographs when he was here.
Oh.
And then they interviewed our neighbors, because we have extraordinary neighbors who let 3 different neighbors let us use their parcels of land in addition to ours, so we can have, we have 22 horses, we have 7 potbelly pigs, 6 goats, 2 steers, 2 sheep, and a whole menagerie. It's like a little Noah's Ark, and we only live on 2 acres, so without the community support that we have, we couldn't do what we do. So Janice was very interested with our neighbors, and it's Marianne and Ron Stovall. She gave them all kinds of insights as well. So this thing has just far exceeded my wildest hopes and dreams, that we can continue to tell people what the thrill is, really, of caring for senior special needs and hospice animals, most of which are at the end of their life and are not with us long. But it is an amazingly divine, wonderful, sacred experience, and we just want people to maybe look at the possibility of them welcoming in those sorts of animals when they're ready to have a companion animal come into their home.
Yeah, there's a lot of, definitely has always been a lot of need, but I think even more now because of the incidents of people losing their homes. And now I just read today in the USA Today online that the Gulf residents are having to give up their dogs and cats because of the same thing. Their future is uncertain, and so a lot of them are being brought to the shelters, and the shelters in the Gulf area are overwhelmed. And most of them are large dogs that are older and large. So it's pretty bad. But, you know, we just got to work on what we have in front of us, and you guys are right in front of us. Tell me about a couple of your residents. I know the story about Homer, but tell some of the people about Homer, your potbelly pig.
Homer is we have 7 pigs, just about, we have an 8th pig coming later this week. We had our first pig, Natalie, came 4 years ago, and we thought, wow, these are really great beings. So we got Homer. Homer had been left in somebody's backyard after they had been evicted for non-payment of rent, and he was found in about a 12 by 15, basically a box, and really that's kind of kind. And come to find out later that we found that a small boy made it his purpose in life every day to go to Homer's cage and bang on it with a baseball bat repeatedly to see how Homer would react. So thankfully, blessedly, those people left, and Homer was left in this box. But a friend of a friend found him, told the other friend about what was going on, and that friend said, no, I know exactly where Homer should go. So Homer came here. And interestingly, Natalie, our first pig, was very antisocial, older lady, kind of a grumpy old woman, and we just let her do her thing. Well, the first thing Homer did when he got here was go over to Natalie and kind of root her out of the pen in the barn that she lives in and said, come on, woman, let's get on with life. And all of a sudden, Natalie is out with the other animals. It's like a completely different pig. And that's really what Homer has as the sort of personality. He has an extraordinarily gregarious, social, inquisitive, very peaceful, funny personality, which is amazing to me to think that he came from where he came from was so negative and so scary that he has completely forgotten that. He has no memory of it. And I tell people, if Snoopy were a pig, it would be Homer. He is just the coolest dude in the world. He never goes anywhere real fast. As I tell people, he just saunters from pasture to pasture to pasture. And he makes sure he goes to all the different pastures we have. He goes and talks with the horses. He's very tight with the goats and the sheep. He goes over to my far neighbor's property, which, while we don't have any animals there, Homer actually has a food dish there. And the Riveras, Miguel and Vicky, love him. And on the hot summer days, they have a really wonderful barn with a cement slab, and he goes and cools himself over there.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's a great story. You know, I always like I look for pet stories all the time in something like USA Today and any newspaper. And I saw yours, and I smelled something special about the particular article. And I think it has a lot to do with the fact that I am a pet chef, and I zeroed in on that part where you talk about your animals, primarily the dogs, get home-cooked meals. And in my mind, that just shows how smart you are. I think you guys are just smarter than smart, because that is like saving a lot of money, saving a lot of vet bills. But tell us about your home-cooked meals. Do all the animals get it?
They did. Now, with the horses and the farm animals, we do a little bit of a different version in that we use some ingredients. So we actually don't cook them in the traditional sense of using heat, but we actually do a combination, and metaphorically speaking, we do bake them. But I'll explain that in a little bit. But the dogs, I think, will have a little bit more direct connection with folks. So interestingly, again, people say, well, how did you start cooking for the dogs? And really, it was Bliss. Blissy was an incredibly finicky eater, and you know, when Chance and Bliss first arrived, you know, they didn't look like Wally, and Blissy, with Cushing's and being blind, she had an interesting kind of a potbelly look and blue fading on her eyes, but I quickly fell in love, and she would bark, and I literally would come running. And so she was a picky eater, and so she wouldn't eat the dog food, and now, again, very divinely, I'm glad she didn't. So I started cooking different things, and that's all evolved now, Mickey, where we have created what I think is an extraordinary combination, pretty simple, but highly effective. And most people assume the first question out of their mouths is, my God, what are your vet bills? And I'm happy to tell them, I said, you know what, our veterinary costs are, except for emergency situations, we don't have any, and it's because we spend most of our money on preventative care and extraordinarily good nutrition. So the pups get, and we tried a lot of different things, but the most recent recipe over the last year, I think, has worked the best, is we use a base of ground turkey. We'll add in some organ meat. We've tried liver. We've also tried chicken gizzards and hearts, and find that those do well. So I'll basically boil that in water and get it cooked down. And then I'll add into it potatoes that I will kind of julienne in a food processor. And I'll use gold potatoes, red potatoes, regular potatoes, any sort of potato base. Then I'll use carrots almost every day. And then also bring in some sort of good green leafy vegetable. Usually spinach is my favorite, but also we'll use green beans, Brussels sprouts, any kind of like that. So I'll let the meat cook, and then I'll julienne all of the other items, and then put those in, add some more water, so it's really like a soup, and then we'll let that simmer for probably about 30 minutes, and then turn the heat off and just let it sit in the pot for the rest of the day, and then feed. That gives me two meals to feed more or less about 8 o'clock in the morning and about 6 or 7 o'clock at night. I add to that some good trace minerals and a little bit of bone meal, and you know, our oldest pup just passed away, and he was 20 years old, which is almost unheard of for a dog of any size, and he had been with us for 5 years. So he had an extraordinarily fabulous end to his life. And we find that these older dogs, our average age of our dog is 14 years old. Our oldest now is Max, who's a 16-year-old Italian Greyhound, and they're in fabulous health. It just really is. I shouldn't be surprised. It kind of blows my mind every day.
Well, it blows my mind every day that people don't get this. It just really blows me off, as I just can't understand when somebody's going to start paying attention to it. People do, but it seems like the rescues, you know, everybody is just looking for free food or whatever they can get. And in the long run, everything comes out. Like you said, the benefits that you get are right in front of you. And especially for you with older dogs who generally have a lot of problems, the benefits are obvious. So, well, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back with Woody Bartley from the Chance for Bliss Animal Sanctuary. So we'll be right back.
We'll be right back, right after these messages. Stay tuned.
Hey, love to read, but just never seem to have enough time to sit in one place long enough? For all of us on-the-go people, Audible has the answer. best-selling audiobooks for your iPod or MP3 player. For Pet Life Radio listeners, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 14-day trial to give you a chance to check out their service. Choose from hundreds of today's bestsellers, including awesome pet books such as Bad Dogs Have More Fun by Marley and Me author John Grogan, Love That Cat by Ingrid Newkirk, It's Okay to Miss the Bed on the First Jump, and Other Life Lessons I Learned from Dogs by Seinfeld's John O'Hurley, and many, many more. To download your free audiobook today, go to audiblepodcast.com/petchef, P-E-T-C-H-E-F. Again, that's audiblepodcast.com/petchef for your free audiobook.
When you're looking to add a pet into your life, consider adopting a homeless animal from your local shelter or rescue group. Whether you want a kitten, puppy, or a more mature pet, a purebred or a one-of-a-kind mixed breed, even a rabbit or hamster, your shelter has the best selection of animals anywhere, all screened for good health and behavior. PetLifeRadio.com presents Take Me Home with your host, Susan Daffron. Join us each week as we showcase wonderful pets, tell stories, and even throw some pet education into the mix. So get ready to find out why the pet adoption option can be a great way to add a furry companion into your life. Take Me Home every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Pet Chef on Pet Life Radio. Woody Bartley's here from Chance for Bliss Animal Sanctuary, and we've been talking to him about his sanctuary with his 80-plus animals outside of Sacramento in Penryn, California. And I was asking a lot about what I find exciting is the fact that he and his wife, Deanna, do a home-cooked meals for their dogs particularly and some of their other animals. Woody, how about the other animals? Are they fed real food also on occasion, or is it, like you said, you baked some of theirs, like the horses? What do you generally give a horse?
So it's a great question, Mickey. So we have our horses basically divided up into two groups. Within the, generally speaking, and again, there are some great veterinarians in the world, and we are very pro-veterinarians. We have an amazing doctor who is kind of like a James Herriot. He works on all of our animals. So he's as comfortable with a dog as he is a horse. He's also a trained acupuncturist because we do a lot of alternative therapies with the animals. We do acupressure, Reiki, a process called Tuina, Jinjitsu, some really great Eastern techniques. But in the veterinary world, oftentimes horses have what's called their teeth floated, and they do it using a power instrument. And unfortunately, it is an incredibly, it really can be very damaging to a horse's teeth. And so oftentimes, one of our horses is only 14 years old, and he can't process even the best of hay or grass because his teeth floated down to the point where they're non-usable. So I mention that because we have our horses divided into two categories, those that can process hay and those that cannot. Those that cannot are mostly our group of 30-year-old plus horses. We actually have two thoroughbreds that are 35 years old, which when people come and see them, they're blown away. Because a thoroughbred in particular almost never lives past mid-20s. And these two old men, especially Cloud, really are just wonders. And it's completely due, I think, to nutrition. We also actually do barefoot trimming and then have this body work. So this whole process of preventative maintenance and great nutrition not only gives them longevity, but gives them a spunk in life. And so for the horses, what we do, the ones that can't process hay, we do what we call soup mixture again. And we use a pelleted grass, we use rice bran, we use shredded beet pulp, we use it's a low-carb, non-structured carbohydrate mix. Then we add to that flaxseed, ground flaxseed, with some supplements. We put it in a big bucket, and then we fill it up with water to allow the rice bran and the beet pulp to soak in water, and it becomes a mashy sort of mixture. And we've had nothing short of remarkable results with this nutrition with these old guys.
That's fabulous.
30-plus years old, and we have a whole group of them, 10 of them that are 30-plus, or others that have horrific hoof and foot problems, and people would basically put them down. And between the hoof care that we get, and again, we don't do shoes, we do what's called barefoot trimming, along with the nutrition, and then have body work done to these horses, they come and they just are just, they're amazing. It is just, the results are extraordinary. People, vets that come by and visit, they're amazed that the animals are doing so well.
Well, it's just the way it seems like we, you could see this outside of the United States a lot, but for some reason we're stuck in this world of just feeding all animals, you know, whatever bag we can open up. And, you know, but it works for people too. And all of us have had, I've had my challenges years and years ago with health and have pulled myself out, and people are absolutely amazed. But, you know, I don't know what we're all standing around scratching our head for, because this is so obvious. But I think people are waking up. And the other question I was going to ask you, Woody, is, what can we all do to help you out over there?
Well, and thank you so much for asking. So we do no adoptions. We specifically look for those companion and farm animals that have no chance of being adopted, and that's typically because of age, some sort of special need, or they are a hospice situation. So mentioning that, because we don't benefit from adoption fees. But what we did is we created a great sponsorship program. And what we did is we divided the sanctuary into four categories. You have dogs, you have horses, you have pasture pals, which are basically all the farm animals, and then you have meadow mates. And those are basically the geese, the ducks, the chickens, the cats, the rabbits, cockatiel noble, who I'm amazed is not singing in the background right now. But every category has more or less just worked out divinely about 20 different residents. So then each month what happens is we pick one resident to feature from each of the four categories. And then the sponsors get, and this is just $10 per month per category. You can sponsor a category or all the categories. So it's just 10 bucks a month, and we have a goal of 1,000 sponsors. That would give us a monthly income necessary to support the sanctuary. And for that, every month, you'll get a letter which describes to me, and this is the most fascinating part, how the featured resident got to the sanctuary. And all of these different paths are amazing, because it's either an older person has an older pet, that person passes, nobody wants the older pet, animals are left in horrific conditions, horses are trucked to remote areas and dropped off. It could be a whole myriad of reasons, but they end up here, and then our job is to take care of them. So you get a bio of the featured resident, you get a 5x7 beautiful photograph that my bride does a great job on, and then you also get a link to a video. So you can go online and watch that featured resident in action. So for all our friends around the country now who want to sponsor and can't get out here to the sanctuary, they can actually see that featured resident in mobile action, which kind of brings the whole thing to life.
Well, we're going to get your contact information here in a minute. And then also when somebody wants to find out more, they can actually go on Pet Life Radio to the Pet Chef and click on your contact information. But when you and I were talking last week, you told me about a dream that you guys have. Mm-hmm. And can you share that dream?
Oh, I'd love to. Thank you so much. Again, you know, it's interesting, you know, how we found this particular property after looking for 2 years. It ended up being so divine with, you know, the people we live next door to, and yet the close proximity to major thoroughfares. And then it just so happens that the neighbor right in front of me, who's a wonderful friend, just behind him, there are 80 acres that are for sale. I mean, if I really wind up, I could probably hit it with a rock right now.
Wow.
And it's our dream. And this is the thing I think about most days, is we would love to be the Shriners of the animal world. And we'd love to have this 80 acres be developed. So for folks who have had an animal companion for a long or a short period of time, and because of life circumstances, they're faced with a situation which happens, from what I understand, quite often, that some sort of procedure, an emergency procedure or something happens, and they can't afford to take care of their companion animal. They have to make the heart-wrenching decision to put them in a shelter or put them down. If there could be a place where they could go and have the procedures done, to get education about nutrition and body work and animal communication and all these other things, that if we could give people more time with their companion and farm animals, and this may be a little grandiose, but I really think in our small way we could make a positive impact on the world, because oftentimes, I know for myself at the head of this line, people's emotional bond and relationship with animals can be more significant than our emotional bond with our human brethren. And
right.
If we can therefore give people more time to restore a sense of hope, to give them maybe another 6 months, another year, another two, three, or four, you know, I think people may relax a little bit. They may be a little happier, because it happens a lot that people will come here and see that we care for senior and special needs and hospice animals, and average tenure is about 18 months, and they say, how can you deal with the loss so often? Because they'll tell a story that they had a companion animal and they died and they could never go through the pain of that loss again. So if I can give them more time and help them to realize that, you know, no new animal that comes in your life is going to take the place of the one you lost, but it's an extraordinary experience to give them a great life and you can feel good about it. That's our big dream, to be a Shriner's Life, to be a place of learning and education, to keep the sanctuary aspect where people can come with animals that have no chance of being adopted and let them live out their lives and go transition on their time, not somebody else's. That's what we'd love to do.
Well, that's a fabulous dream. And you know what? You just focus on it, you stay focused on it, and you live in the dog moments, and it'll happen. And we're all going to do our best to help you make it happen. So give us your contact information right now. And like I said, people can also get it by listening to the podcast and going to Pet Life Radio. But give us your contact information. What's your website?
The website is A Chance for Bliss. So and four is spelled out F-O-R. So achanceforbliss.com. And actually now, thanks to USA, if you Google A and then the letter C-H, we come up number one.
Oh, good.
So we're very easy to come up on Google now, which is, I mean, I can't imagine what that would cost to try to get that sort of search optimization.
Yeah.
So if you Google our name or just go to our website, please feel free to call us. I apologize, we don't have an 800 number yet. Quite honestly, up to this point, we didn't need one. But the ranch number is 916-663-9121. Again, 916-663-9121. Delighted to talk to folks, to share information that we have, to give advice to the extent that we can, or just oftentimes people just want to call and talk about what it's like to lose a longtime companion animal, and we're happy to be a shoulder for people to lean on. My email is Woody, W-O-O-D-Y, at achanceforbliss.com. If people are in the area in Northern California, again, we're just about 30 minutes east of Sacramento, and like that would come by and visit the sanctuary. My favorite thing in the world is to give tours, and we're happy that we show every part. We live in the house with the 20 and soon-to-be 21 dogs. We actually have a 15-year-old blind, deaf Boston Terrier that was found wandering in Houston, Texas. We'll be here in about 3 hours. She's actually being
flown. That's Gracie.
That's Gracie. Gracie will be here in about 3 hours.
Great.
So I love... The other part that I think is important is because we do no adoptions, there is a very palatable and evident sense of permanence. And so when you come in the house, you think, 21 dogs in the house? You've got to be kidding me. And I can promise you, it takes about 30 seconds, and then all 21 dogs are quiet. You see, right now, they're in the one, two, four, five. I have seven here that are no noise at all. So it's very important for them. So and I think the other part is it's important for me to tell their story to everybody who comes by, because it's worth
it. Well, you know, unfortunately, we're out of time, Woody, and we want to thank you for being on the show and thank our producers for making this show possible. You can go to my website, dogchefs.com or smelllikeadog.com. And Woody, thanks so much again, and we'll do our best to help you out in every way we can.
Well, Nikki, you're an angel. Thank you not only for what you do for us, but for the education and the influence that you're putting out into the community. You're making an amazing difference, probably in ways that you have no idea, but you're making a great difference. And thank you for championing the cause of so many that don't have a voice. You are an angel. You really are.
Well, in my next trip to California, I will give you a call, and I will be the first on your tour.
Beautiful. I'll very much look forward. That'll be a great day.
Okay. Until next time, folks, bon appetit.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.